Morning. It's always a pleasure coming back to New Song Family Church. In many ways, it's like coming home for me. We were here 3 years ago with my two sons, and it's a blessing to get to bring my daughters here for the first time. There's something special about bringing your children to the places and to meet the people that you knew and to experience the things that you experienced whenever you were a child in your home. It's something special about that. It's been a treat to get to do that with my daughters this time. And it's always a blessing to come to this congregation. We're missionaries in Angola, like my father said, and we were sent by a church from the U.S., Second Baptist Houston. But this was my first sending church. I was sent for the first time into the world by this church. And so it's always a blessing to come to be with you. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to speak and to be with you today. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for myself just briefly, real quick. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to dive into your word. And I thank you for the privilege of being able to share what you've put on my heart. And I pray that you help me to speak well and to that your grace would cover me and that you communicate what you want to communicate, not what I want to communicate today, and that those who need to hear this message today, that you open our hearts, open our minds, our ears, remove the obstacles that are in the way from us hearing exactly what you want to say to us today. And I pray that we would leave here closer to you and closer to each other. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we moved to Angola about 7 months ago, and I grew up in Namibia, and many people in the States said, "Oh, you're going back to Africa. It's, you already know all this stuff." And I very, very quickly said, "I don't know anything about Angola." When I was in Namibia, all I knew was about the war in Angola. That's all I got from my time in Namibia, my time in Africa. And yes, there are certain similarities to African people that, just the fact that I have a heart for Africa, that is something. We love the people in Angola. But it's been difficult. It's been a difficult transition because the culture is so different. The expectations we had, even expectations that we were told to expect, they're different than what the reality was. And so learning culture, learning how to drive in Luanda, how to think about the things that they think about, the way that you greet people, the things you talk about, you don't talk about, or the time that you spend with people, how much time things take at times was a culture shock to us. And so our expectations have changed and we've adjusted. And but it's been difficult. We've had malaria already. And my son had malaria the very first month we were there. And so navigating what that looks like for my family and just a bunch of different things. Learning Portuguese, that has been difficult. And so there's all these things that we're learning for the first time. It's been very difficult, but I want to say thank you. I know many of you have been praying for us, and we, with every one of these difficulties, we've never felt like we're just ready to give up or like we're falling apart. I guess we could, but we feel carried by the Lord, and we feel the power of the Lord behind us, and we know that's because of people like you praying for us. So I want to say thank you. Like I said, we're learning Portuguese. Our main job right now is to learn Portuguese because that's the language of the people there. And if we're going to communicate to them, we have to be able to speak their language. And so every day we receive tutors at my house, and for hours during the day we study Portuguese, Monday through Friday, usually about 30 hours a week. I'm either in a class or more, or practicing Portuguese outside, even if it's just buying bread. I'm doing something to learn Portuguese. I'm very proud of my wife and my children. Because they're all learning Portuguese. Even my sons are learning it. It's our goal not to have missionary kids that just stay in the house and only play with expats, but we want them to be be loving the people of Angola as well. So they're learning Portuguese as well. But that's our main job right now. If my supervisor is going to check in on me probably in about a year, and he'll say, "So, how's it going? Have you learned Portuguese? This is your task. This is what has been told to us when we arrived in Angola. This is what you have to do." They didn't say you need to plant this many churches. They didn't say we want to see this number of people get saved. It's all about Portuguese right now. And because that will open doors for the other things eventually. And so we're working hard at that. But for the sake of our message, I wanted you to imagine with me for a second a crazy scenario. So imagine I decided, you know what? I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to learn Portuguese. It's really difficult for me. I've never learned a language. I have a few words in Afrikaans, a few words in German that I learned when I was here, but I really have never learned to be fluent in another language, so I'm just not prepared to learn Portuguese. Or, you know, it's awkward. It's difficult for my tutors. I don't want to inconvenience them to drive all the way to my house to teach me Portuguese, so I'll just tell them to stay home and just, you know, I'll just do other things. I can work on my garden, or I can work, you know, I talked to Minty today about training my dog. There's other things I can do. I can, instead of going to the shop and asking for pão for bread at the shop, I'll pay people to go shop for me so I don't actually have to learn Portuguese. And then whenever my supervisor comes and checks on me in a year, he'll say, "So, how did it go? Did you learn?" And then I'll say, "No, I didn't. But look at the tricks that my dog can do. Do you want to see the trick that my dog can do?" And he'll be like, "What? No, you had one job for this year, to learn Portuguese. Can you speak anything?" And I would say, "No, but, you know, look at my garden. My garden's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, look at these flowers. They're beautiful." And he would be really furious, right? I mean, if that was you, if you were my supervisor, you would fire me. You'd say, "Listen, you had one job to do. You didn't do it. Obviously, we need to get rid of you, and we need to get somebody else to do it," right? That would be crazy. And thankfully, praise God, estamos a aprender a falar português. We are learning to speak Portuguese. And so this is a hypothetical situation. Yeah, thank you for your prayers. We are learning, and praise God, it's going. But that idea is crazy to us. Any job, there's a task to do that's been given to you by your boss. It's expected that you do it, right? And although my garden, I would love to spend time in my garden, it's not a bad thing to have a beautiful garden or for me to train my dog. Those are good things. But for me to devote all of my attention to those things when I have a primary task that is different, that would be really, really, really dumb, right? And yet, it's a silly story, but that unfortunately is where we are as believers very often. We have a task that has been given to us. God has told us that our purpose here on earth, if you're wondering right now what your purpose is to love God and to love your neighbor. That's why we're here. But he has given us a specific task. He's given believers a specific task to do until he returns. And I would like to start, and I feel like I'm reiterating what Rico and Brother Bearden, is that correct? What they've said today, and so I did not know this was an outreach service today, and so I don't know if this is just me being a missionary or if this is God, but what we're talking about is the same thing we've already been talking about. So let's read together what our task is. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is our task. This is what we're supposed to do. If we've got one job to do, a specific way that loving each other and loving God manifests itself, this is it. You can't love a person better than to share Jesus with them. You can't love God more than to tell someone how much you love him. And this is our task, and yet we have a problem. So often we forget what our task is. We might even be doing good things. We might be getting caught up in doing great things. Like, this was an amazing church service today. I'm very thankful for it, and we need good church services. But sometimes as pastors or missionaries or just people who are of the band, you know, we can get so tied up in, man, we need to make the perfect church service. This needs to be a very welcoming place. We need to have good music. We need to have welcomers, greeters, and all of this thought goes into this. And we forget to go and make disciples. I can't tell you how many churches I've been into that really don't have a vision to go. It's all about focusing inward. Other things we could get caught up in. In the States, I don't know which side you fall on with presidents over the last few years. It really... Maybe you don't give a rip because it's America. It's not your president. But But for us, it has been difficult for me to see. Very often, I'll be on Facebook checking some things, and then when election time comes, whether it's this last one or, you know, 4 years ago or whenever, it always comes back around. I'll see Christians that are diving into deep, deep conversations, long arguments on Facebook, trying to convince someone to believe in their political party, and they'll usually use scripture to back it up. And they're using scripture to say, this is the reason that we need to vote for this guy. This is the reason why you shouldn't vote for this guy. And it kills me because I've never seen them have the same argument or the same enthusiasm to convince someone to follow Jesus. And yet in this passage, it doesn't say, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, so therefore go and vote for a Christian party. We need to put people in power. We need kings and queens and presidents who are Christians and believers who can make Christian laws so we can have kingdom on earth. Does it say that? No. Should we? I'm a voter. I believe in using your influence in the government to make good decisions. And we need. I do pray for Christian people in power, but that's not God's plan for His kingdom to spread on earth, is it? He doesn't say that. He says all authority in heaven has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. And yet we forget this so often. We forget it. I don't know. I asked my dad what research there's been done in Namibia for believers and their daily activities. And we struggled to find any. Maybe we can talk after this if you have some. I would love to see it. But Barna is a research organization for Christians in the States. And I don't have details like this in Angola. I need to find some. But in the States, there was research done a few years back, and it said that only 40% of Christians have actually shared the gospel, the full gospel. I'm not saying that I'm a Christian. Yeah, it's easy to say, I'm a Christian. You can put that on your when I came into the country, I can put that on my religious preference. You can say, I believe Jesus is God. You can go to church on Sunday. Those are all good things. But what I'm talking about is the full plan of salvation, where you're talking to someone about who Jesus is, what He's done for you on the cross, telling him how He's changed your life, and then explaining how they can receive that same life change in Jesus Christ, how they can have a relationship with Jesus. That is the full plan of, that's what we call it, the plan of salvation. And when this research was done, only 40% of Christians in the States have actually done this ever in their whole life. And so we clearly have a problem. We get so tied up in so many other problems, like how to do worship music and things like that. People leave. I was talking to someone who's leaving their church because of worship music. But I said, do they tell people about Jesus? Let's get back to the main thing, because that's where we're struggling, and that's where Satan is winning. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But I want to start out with you guys asking yourself, what does that look like in my life? As we talk about it, I want you to be thinking about that just personally. You don't have to raise your hand or tell anyone today if you don't want to. But think right now. In the last month, have I gotten to share the gospel with at least one person in the last month? Or how many? How many people in the last month? I'm not asking how many people have accepted Jesus Christ, but how many people have you shared with in the last month? If you can't think of anyone, let's try 6 months. How many times do you think in the last 6 months you have shared about Jesus Christ? And if you can't find anybody in that spectrum, let's try a year. Just think about this. And I'm not doing this to shame you. I love that brother gave himself grace, because this is not a test. I'm not saying that you're better or worse than the person next to you, depending on what your number is. But are we being faithful? Are we being obedient to the task that has been given to us by our Lord and Savior? And if not, if you can't think of anybody in the last however many, I mean, that's me. It's a good practice for me to do that as well. I get so caught up in Portuguese sometimes. Since I've been in Angola, a month has passed and I'll go, wow, I haven't shared the full plan of salvation with someone this month. So it's a good way for us to evaluate ourselves. So that's all I'm asking you to do this morning. But I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, and we're going to go through a passage in Acts chapter 8. Verse 26 through 40, and I want to talk just about two main points in this passage. It's one of my favorite stories, It's about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And yeah, I'll give you some time to look in your Bibles if you have it there. It's good. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn. I know it's on the screen, but it's good. This will be a good practicing time. Often I talk to people who struggle to read and find truth out of their Bibles. So let's do some practicing today. Open your Bibles and let's do an activity together today. Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. So some background. Philip, he had started to share the gospel in different places after. So Jesus had died and rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, giving this great commission to the disciples. And then there was persecution in Jerusalem in the church, and there was this great spread. People just spread, the Christians just scattered all over the place and were carrying it out. Persecution is terrible, but in this situation, it was helpful. God used it to spread the gospel. And Philip went to Samaria. Philip was the first missionary to Samaria, other than Jesus. He was the first one to start telling people about what happened on the cross and what's going on with the new church right now. And so, and this was a big deal because Samaria was a forgotten place, a place that Jews did not like to go. And so he was the first one. Paul has often talked about the apostle to the Gentiles, but really Philip was the first one that we have record of really making an effort to go into the space of the Gentiles and seeing victory there in Samaria. He was casting out demons and seeing miracles, and people were coming into the faith and seeing great works happen there. But now he's been called by God to do something different. And a little background about this, he's going out to meet an Ethiopian eunuch. And I won't get too deep into what that, I'll explain a little bit about that in a second, but we'll keep it PG. And so you don't have to cover your kids' ears. I want to say, preface this real quick with Acts, the book of Acts. It is sometimes a prescriptive book, but oftentimes it's descriptive. And what I mean by that is I love the book of Acts. It's one of my favorite books. It's like, if you like action movies, this is the book for you. There's a lot of cool things happening in Acts, and it gets exciting. But sometimes Christians can become discouraged because they'll go like, man, this doesn't look like my life. I must be doing something wrong. There are some things that we should be doing that are the same in Acts. But there are some things that were happening at that time that is not for all believers. And so we need to be careful as we read to take out the right parts and apply them to our lives as individuals, and also give room to go, okay, this happened as the beginning of the church was starting. So let's read together Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. And let's just start with 26 through 29. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. All right, we'll stop there. So a eunuch was someone, basically, the PG version, he was someone who was mutilated, or his body was mutilated at birth, so that a king could trust this man when he grew up to be to take care of the space of his harem, his queens, to not worry about him ever having an affair, because he's literally physically unable to do so. And so that they mutilated these young boys' bodies so that they could do that. It was a shameful act, and it was terrible. I mean, just imagine. But the effects, usually they would grow up a lot like a woman. They wouldn't look like your average man. Their shoulders wouldn't be as broad because testosterone wasn't working as it should, and their voice was likely higher, and probably didn't grow as good of a beard. So they are often ostracized out of certain circles because of the way they looked and appeared. And then you can guarantee that he would have been that way in Jerusalem. He was coming from Jerusalem himself, we see, to worship. He was not able, we see in the Bible, he would not have been able to worship in the inner circles of the temple because his body had been mutilated. And so this is a man who has been ostracized, has been pushed out in many ways. And just a quick note, it speaks to me, as often I feel like I'm different in some ways, and I know you do at times too, that God is ready to go seek out that one person who feels like he doesn't belong anywhere. God is ready to say, you belong with me. Let's keep reading. So he was an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandaki, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. All right, let's stop there. Whenever I asked you guys, how many times have you shared your faith in this last year? Without hesitation, I know some excuses have popped into your head already. I know this because it happens to me. If I go, oh, I've been busy. I've been studying Portuguese. That's why. I'm saying I don't speak the language very well. It's difficult. These are my excuses that pop into my head. And this happens with us a lot of times. And if you look through our scripture for the day, he had some excuses that he could make, right? When the angel says, go, first off, he doesn't even tell him all the details. If I'm doing something, I was in the shop yesterday when my dad got bushwhacked at Bushwhackers. He and I were looking at buying some stuff for my car and some big stuff. I'm really excited about it so we can travel better back to Angola, a better roof rack and some boxes, some ammo boxes and some cool stuff that'll help us to be able to outfit our car better. And it's exciting. I like spending that kind of money on things I know I'm going to use and it's for ministry. It's exciting. But I'm asking tons of questions. I'm going, okay, I want you to show me this ammo box. Okay. Do you have one in aluminum? Or do you have one in this color? Okay, if we do this one, will it work with that bag? Does this roof rack fit on this? I'm asking tons of questions, and anything she didn't know, I said, would you research it for me? And so if I'm going to invest in something, I want to know everything about it. It kills me when God says, just go to Gaza. And I'm like, okay, and? So that's an excuse by itself. We say, I don't know what I'm going to do. If I start a conversation with someone about Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to say. Or what are they going to say? How are they going to respond? Or what do you really plan for me to do? Do I have time to disciple this person if they say yes to Jesus? We just start running through things. That's our excuse that we could use. He could easily have said that. The desert was a hot place. We love the desert here in Namibia, but we like to go camping. But we can take our jerry cans. We can take our Land Cruisers. We can take water with us. We have our phones just in case or plans. You know, if you don't see me in 10 days, come find me. There's things like that. But odds are he walked in the desert. And so that's an excuse right there. He's probably going, oh, man, can I go to the beach and share Jesus with someone at the coast, at the port? I guess actually Gaza was a port. That's a bad example. But he has to go through the desert to do that. He could have said, can I just go next door? That's a little easier. So that's an excuse he could have used. The one that gets me the most is he says, so he finds the chariot. So there's excuses he can make with that. Oh, I'm intimidated by this man of power. Or what are they going to do whenever I get there? Are the security guards going to come over? But he says, go and stand by the chariot. Again, just giving him just enough information. If you're trying to figure out something about your life, and you're like, where are all the answers, God? He probably is not going to give you all the answers. He'll give you just what you need for the next step. That's how it's worked out in my life. But he says, go to the chariot. And so that's one I think is probably the biggest excuse that we have. I think if I were in his shoes, I'd be like, I'm going to feel really awkward just going and standing next to this chariot and waiting for the next thing to happen. He doesn't even tell him to go and say something. He just says, go stand over there. Please just, you ever see someone who's just waiting where they're not supposed to? They kind of do this. They do their mouth like this. And they kind of sway. That's what he was told to do. And that's the thing I think that we struggle with the most. Unless you come from a Muslim family or the Middle East where there are literally honor killings, where you might be expelled from your family for following Christ, and you're trying to share Jesus with someone like that. For us in places like Namibia, Angola, United States, awkwardness, I think, is our biggest excuse. We say, I don't want to tell someone about how they can inherit eternal life, be saved from hell, and live a life of freedom, because I don't want to have an awkward conversation. Excuses. And the thing is, the Holy Spirit told him. Go back to the last one. It said, that's right, 29. Sorry. The Spirit told Philip. The angel told him before. Most of us probably haven't seen an angel. But today, if you know Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and he's talking to you about opportunities like this all the time. Whether we hear it or not, whether we want to hear it or not, he's saying, go talk to that person about Jesus. Go talk to that person about Jesus. And you're probably going, it's probably just gas. I'm busy. Let's just keep going. But But more often than not, when you feel something in your gut to do something good, it's usually the Holy Spirit. There's opportunities like this for us all over the place, but we have our excuses. Let's keep reading. Verse 28, 29, 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. I love that he ran. Who knows what was going through his mind, but he was faithful. He ran. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. Philip speaks. He opens his mouth. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Next slide. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As he traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. I love this. He's teleported, like an X-Men movie. took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Man, I love this story. It gets me really excited. There's so many parts that we could unpack this all day. I won't. Just so you know, this is the same message I'm going to teach in Portuguese for the first time. So I'm keeping it short because I know my Portuguese is going to take forever. So I'm almost done. But the point I want to make, the last point that I want to make about this more than anything, you see all these different pieces of the puzzle coming together for this man to come to know Christ. First, we should see that this man is valuable to Jesus. Just if you're sitting here wondering, does Jesus love me? Does Jesus care about me? Maybe you're here just trying out the church, or maybe you've been here and you're still wondering that. Yes, he's chasing after you, as we can see. There are cultures crossed, languages probably crossed. There is distance crossed. There is physical ailments and problems crossed. There's literal miracles happening here because of God's plan for this man. But the thing I want you to notice is this, and ask yourself this question. Did Philip do all these things? He did one thing. He was faithful. He was obedient. That's what Philip did. But everything else is the work of God. And I want you to see that very clearly, because we can get so wrapped up in what I'm going to do to share the gospel. Oh gosh, I don't know if I know enough Bible verses. I don't know if I'm going to be calm, if I'm going to mess it up. I don't even know where to find people, you know, who don't know Jesus, or, you know, my circle of friends is all Christians, or you know, maybe I need to go to seminary, or, you know, I'm not a pastor, or, you know, I'm not a missionary, and so really, is that even my job? Yes, it is your job, but we get this idea that it's all about us, and I'm thankful for the brother gave himself grace, because we should never be ashamed whenever we are being obedient to this task. No matter what happens, it's God's work that is at play and the person's choice. They have free will to choose Jesus Christ or not. And so we can get so frustrated and so fearful that we're not going to be able to pull it off. And sometimes people are saying, because of, look at what I've done in my life. I'm not a good person. You know, I'm a Christian, but I'm still so far behind. Or people, if I start talking about Jesus, people are going to go, remember what you were like? I don't think you're the kind of guy that can talk about Jesus. Praise God, that's not true. There are many people from my high school here that either don't remember me or know that I was not someone to talk about, not someone that really should be talking about Jesus probably. There was nothing special about me in my life that gives me my worth and my worthiness to talk about Jesus. Jesus is the reason I can talk about Jesus. Praise God. And so for anyone who's thinking I'm not enough, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you know, you're not enough, but God is. He works out every detail of the plan. All we have to do is be praying for these opportunities to open our eyes to listen to the Spirit whenever he says, go share, and then just let God do his thing. And then the rest is okay. Now this, I want to say, this is an amazing story and an amazing result of this Ethiopian eunuch. You know, everything's laid out perfectly where it's just, Philip is just along for the ride, right? He's not doing much work at all. And I've been in situations like this where I'm like, oh my gosh, God, you have just, since Angola, I got to lead one person to Christ so far in Angola. And I'm looking at how it came to that place, and I'm just amazed. It's a lot like this kind of story. No teleportations, no angels, but I can't explain it except that God just orchestrated every detail and this, and just prepared this young man's heart. And all I was doing was being obedient. But more often than not, I'll warn you, it doesn't go this way. Usually when I share Christ with someone, they go, that's very nice. Thank you for sharing that with me. Okay, bye. It's just kind of an awkward thing. It is awkward at times. And more often than not, they don't say yes to Jesus, at least not the first time. And I do not have the gift of evangelism. That might be different for you. Maybe the Holy Spirit has gifted you to where you are just knocking these out left and right. But that's not my record. And so we're talking about how many that you have. I asked, how many shares have you made? Because that is where we are faithful. It is not in how many people you have successfully led to Jesus, because that is not your job. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that is the person's decision. So that's not in our control. And so I want to remind you, if, as you go, maybe you're discouraged. I've been sharing, but I'm not seeing any results. That doesn't matter. Jesus sees what you're doing, and he is using, every time you share, he is using that. Those are seeds planted, and he will either use it, and the person will come to Christ, or they will just, they'll have everything they need because of your faithfulness, and they'll say no. But that is not up to you to decide. I love this story. It gets me excited, and the thing I love most about it is how he's rejoicing at the end. And the amazing things that Philip got to be a part of. I can tell you all day, your boss tells you to do this, like I said from the beginning. My boss tells me to learn Portuguese. I'm not learning Portuguese because my boss tells me to do so. At the end of the day, I'm learning because I'm passionate to reach Angolans. I love those people. God's put a love in our heart for the people of Angola. And it's been a joy to learn Portuguese because it allows me connection with these people. In the same way, when you start sharing the gospel, you realize, I'm not just doing this because I have to. I'm doing it because I love to. Whenever I see someone really accept, really understand the gospel of Jesus, there's nothing like it. It is a special, special place and a closeness to Jesus that you won't experience otherwise. And even if they say no, the time spent praying over these people and doing what God's called you to do, being obedient and listening to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it gives you opportunities to grow, to hear the Spirit better, and to come closer and understanding what that looks like. And you get better. You learn skills, and you learn the ability to communicate more quickly and more efficiently. And so I want to encourage you, not just because we've been told to, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you've committed to this task. You have. Follow up with what you've told Jesus you would do, that you would give your life to him and to the service of Jesus Christ. We need to. We need to be people of our word. But rather, jump into the ministry of our Lord and Savior and enter into a special place that you could not enter with him otherwise. It will genuinely bless you. Let's look at our last bit, our Great Commission one more time, the first passage one more time. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, listen to this, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Be comforted. He is with us. He is with you always, even when it seems scary, even when you have nothing, you don't know what to say, even if you don't know even where they are. He will provide the way. He is ready to carry out the whole project for you. All you have to do is be obedient, be faithful to the task that God has given us. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. I pray that you'd help us to really ponder this today, to not take your word and just and move on. But to be thinking, I pray that you help us right now to be thinking. Give us, open up our hearts and our minds right now to hear who exactly you have for us to share the gospel this week. I pray for these individuals here in this room right now. I know that there are people that you have in their lives, whether they're family members or co-workers or bosses or people in another country, perhaps. But there are people, we know there are people right here in Windhoek, maybe right here in this room, that you are preparing to hear the gospel, and you have called us to share with them. And so my prayer is, God, that we would not miss it. Holy Spirit, when you tug on our hearts, help us to see. Please don't let it. Please forgive us whenever we are too busy or we make up excuses or whatever. I pray that you push through, Holy Spirit, and break through our broken attitudes or our broken mindset, our finiteness. I pray that that we would see the opportunities and that you would empower us, Holy Spirit, to go and make disciples of all nations. We thank you for this church who's already doing this in many ways. And I pray a blessing over this church, that they would continue to be a light in Windhoek and in the nations for your name. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.